Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR Locally Grown Radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Let's go ahead and kick things off the way we like to, talk a little Mother Nature with our good friend, Brittany Merlot. Good morning, Britt.
Good morning. How are you guys?
What a difference 3 degrees makes.
Yeah, really.
In my home. Really. It's so nice now.
Nothing but blue skies out there right now, Brittany. It's beautiful out there. What has Mother Nature got in store for us? Heard a little bit of, but could see a little bit of rain.
Yeah, just a really small chance. I'm talking like a 10% chance of us maybe seeing a spotty shower or small storm this afternoon and evening. I really think it's going to be after 5 o'clock. More towards when it's getting dark hour, and really no concern whatsoever. In fact, there is no severe weather risk at all. And I will say I'm happy to live far north, because I don't know if you saw last night, those storms went crazy along the southern border of Wisconsin and into Illinois. There was ping pong ball size hail reported, multiple funnel clouds, tornadoes into the state of Illinois. I mean, winds gusting up to 85 miles per hour. And we avoided all of that. So that's behind the entire state now. We've got the mostly dry weather settling in. Just those small showers this afternoon possible. And then we actually had some comfortable, cooler temperatures for tomorrow and Thursday. Highs will only be in the mid-70s. But today, we may still tap 80.
Seems, I'll take it, though.
Yeah, seems like the next couple of days might be good days to get some yard work done or anything outside.
Absolutely, because the humidity will be gone.
Not bad. Nice forecast, Brittany. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. We'll hang out tomorrow.
She did it herself.
Yes. You did a really nice job with that, Brittany. Thank you for working with Mother Nature on that one. I love how we do that to forecasters.
It'll work a really good deal. You know, it was a hard one. So.
Appreciate you, Britt. Have a great morning.
You too. Bye-bye.
Best in the business right there. Our friend Brittany Merlot joins us every morning right here in this time slot. Melissa and I got some fun stuff to get into in a little bit. Just after our El Cafe birthday and anniversary club coming right up, when someone knocks on the bathroom door, what do you say? We're going to get into that. That's coming up for you. We've also got the percentage of people that believe texts need an emoji with them. Every text need an emoji with them.
That's a lot.
A poll found many of us don't know what ultra-processed food is.
What?
Yeah, so I want to get into that one, too. We've got because we are a morning show on in America, we have to talk about the home run derby, the Star-Spangled Banner before the home run derby last night. Because everybody's talking about it, Melissa, so we have to touch on
it. Well, I did actually listen to it this morning.
Okay, yeah, we'll touch on that a little bit. In our entertainment section to kick off the 9 o'clock hour, Metallica's Black album also hit a feat that we want to touch on. And we're going to Gilligan's Island.
Hey.
We're going to Gilligan's Island, Melissa. It should be fun a little bit later. Plenty more fun stuff for you in the 9 o'clock hour as well. We'll get into our schedule, some good stories of the day, and some local great events going on, including a blood drive happening today.
That's correct.
But today is Artificial Intelligence Appreciation Day.
Hey.
And there are aspects to appreciate about AI, and it's significant. And it's a significant part of the future. But most of us are clinging to the hopes that, it doesn't take our jobs. That's the big fear. That's the worry that a lot of people have. So we're going to get into two interesting things here to open up our show. We're going to talk a little bit about AI, and then we're going to talk about three signs that we are winning the war with AI, just in case anybody out there is still in fear.
Just keeping score.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to get this out of the way real quick. I am exhausted of this conversation. Okay. No matter where I go, this AI conversation keeps popping up. I just had a meeting last night with some other actors talking about the Screen Actors Guild and some work that is being done behind the scenes there. And it came up again. And the fear with actors, I understand some fear with that. But what the real fear to me is the writing world. And the idea that we have a lot of producers right now who are spitefully trying to they can only do so much with the actors community, with the Screen Actors Guild. But with the Writers Guild, they feel like they can push them around. And they believe, and they think so little of you out there, the American people, the people of the world, really, that they can just go ahead and have AI write a script and throw it out there, and you'll all eat it up. Those are some of the jobs that I'm worried about. And I don't believe that there is any, at least right now in present tense in 2024, there is no true fear of it. ChatGPT, AI, they can only do so much. They cannot give you certain things that a human writer can do. Mm-hmm. But it isn't going to stop them from trying. And they're not going to just try this and nobody's going to notice. They're going to start producing and making movies this way. It's already happening. It's already going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So this is where I ask people to, keep an eye on those things. There's certainly a lot of other jobs that are could be taken from AI. But at the same time, go ahead and use your text right now, anybody who has a cell phone, and try texting a swear word to yourself. Just go ahead and try. Try texting almost anything to yourself in broken English or in slang or anything like that. ChatGPT text in your phone.
Your autocorrect.
Is going to have a very difficult time with that. Mm-hmm. It can't figure out text.
It's going to correct you three times and still not get the word right.
This is the same AI, everybody. It's the same AI in your phone is the same type of AI that you are fearing and worrying about. So while I think we need to choose our battles wisely in life and, pick our fears. I'm not saying take your eye off the ball. Out of the corner of your eye, you might want to keep an eye on it. But
it doesn't hurt.
I think that you could say that with a lot of things. Mm-hmm. New research is showing that AI is capable of making people more creative, but there's one significant drawback. A new study using 300 amateur writers to write a brief story, and they were split into three groups. One had to come up with ideas of their own, and one got a single AI-generated idea, and one got to choose multiple AI ideas. Ultimately, they found that AI was able to make the writers more creative, especially the worst writers, which makes sense, I guess.
Yeah.
The groups who used AI had stories that scored better for novelty and usefulness. But even though AI helped people out individually, the collective group was less creative than the group that didn't use AI. In other words, the group that used AI had a similar range of creativity than the ones who came up with ideas on their own.
Yeah, that makes sense.
One researcher said, we do worry that if many people are using this on a large scale, overall, the diversity and creativity in the population will go down.
Because if you think about AI, it's all been inputted into it. There's no original thought in AI.
Yeah.
It's not coming up with these thoughts by itself. It's coming up with the conglomeration of the stuff that has been entered into it. So it can't come up with anything original.
Like a lot of things in life, my concern is not AI. It is the people that want to use AI or harness AI for things like, that aren't what we're using it for, what it's meant for, which is basically the same fear we have with about any object. I'm driving on the road and I worry somebody's using their vehicle not to transport themselves, but for something else. There's a million examples we have of this.
Mm-hmm. And AI is a tool. It's a tool that can be used.
Right.
To great effect with the right application.
Right.
But you're not going to use a screwdriver as a paint scraper.
No. So it's all
it's
about
not the right application.
It's all about the people using them. And no matter what you think will happen in the future, we humans are still in charge. We have here three things to help you with the let you know that we're winning the war with AI. According to a new analyst, 37% of all ChatGPT answers are graded untrustworthy by verified human experts, including doctors, lawyers, veterinarians, and other leaders in the field. 42% of ChatGPT answers they reviewed are missing crucial details. 14% of ChatGPT's answers are misleading, and 4% give dangerous information. Also, a photographer turned the tables on AI-generated images in photography competitions by sneaking his own in. Human-made image into AI category of a prestigious competition, and he won third place. Once it was revealed that no AI had been used, he was disqualified, but he wanted to prove a point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little unethical, but also it does prove the point.
It does remind me, too, Charlie Chaplin once finished third in the Charlie Chaplin contest.
That's actually happened quite a bit, yeah. Like at a you know, an impersonation contest. I've heard, and I don't remember the artist, but like they performed, and somebody else is like, no, this person sounds more like you than you do.
Can I tell you a quick one?
Sure.
I want to say I was at GLX for about 2 years or so, and I'm just early in radio, and I'm at the bar, and they have our station on in the background, and my voice tracks are playing. Mm-hmm. And I am talking to the bartender, and I will admit I was trying to flirt with her, and I am horrible at it. And she said, oh, I like this song. I'm like, oh, yeah, I played this one earlier. And she's like, you did? I was like, yeah, that's me. And she didn't believe me at first, and I understand, you know, it's voice tracks and everything. How could I be doing this? And I explained to her a little bit of the voice tracking, and she's listening, and she's nodding, but she's like, well, wait, I got to hear it again. She hears it. My voice tracks went for another 2 hours. Every time my voice track came up, she shook her head at me. That's not you. That's not you. Every time, including some times that I did not sound very good. I'm like, why would I lie about that? Why would I? Yeah, you just never know. You never know. And finally, a report from CNBC says that while AI can help with things like resumes, you can't expect it to do all the work for you because the results won't be good. Recruiters and hiring managers who are looking at hundreds of resumes are noticing that ones that use AI are very generic and look exactly the same. Yeah. So it may look fine to you, but you're eroding your competitive advantage by doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I don't know, James, as far as resumes go, that's kind of a catch-22 because you have to write your resume to get past, in some companies, you know, like bigger companies if you're applying for, you have to write it to get past the computer screener, which is an AI, a computer screener. But then you also have to get past the human person that's going to look at it next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you use AI to generate it, it might get you past the computer screener. But then you got to get past the next level. That's actually a really tricky conundrum.
It seems like it. And it does seem like there are stopgaps. There are things to keep this in check. But it's also, again, one of those things. I don't blame people for having fears. I just encourage you to choose your battles wisely, and that this is not necessarily one of those ones that I think we need to be keeping our eye on, our both sets of eyes on. I think that it's something that, you know, I keep saying I, even with the AI thing. I think that's why I keep saying I.
Yes, fears, sure, you know, keep it in check. But also, don't expect AI to do all the work for you.
Yeah,
for people who are leaning so heavily into it. You can't.
Yeah,
It can be, like we said earlier, a great tool. It can be very helpful, but it's not going to do all the work for you.
And I think that, you know, a lot of my writer friends would want me to certainly mention as well that it can be an asset, your assistant, if you will, when it comes to writers. So many writers work better in a team. And not many writers have that opportunity to have that. Now, I work with my friend Will out in California, and him and I Zoom, but we don't get a chance to do that nearly as much as we used to. And he kind of has to work, you know, a lot. And I'm not there to help him with a lot of his sketches and a lot of his work. So he's started to use ChatGPT for some things. Now, he's used it mostly not to come up with punchlines, but to come up with, like, kind of responses to punchlines and some of that. I don't know the full extent.
Conversation stuff. Yeah,
I've never used it, so I don't know it that well. I'm basing what he's told me and everything. It's been very helpful. It's been like having an assistant in the room.
I've been playing around with it a little bit more here, and it I think has a lot of applications where it can be very useful. But again, it's all about how you're using it.
Yeah. Everything it comes down to that human interaction with the item and how we're using it.
Yeah.
We're going to use a break and take care of our sponsors. We'll come back with Yodel Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. Mm-hmm. It's Melissa and James taking you through your morning right here at WFHR. It's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. We encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards.
That's right. They're open today for the first day this week.
And keep in mind today, while we are talking about it being National AI Appreciation Day, it's also National Personal Chef Day. So hey. Right from the Facebook page of El Cafe, which we encourage you to like and subscribe to, Ezekiel will be your personal chef if you stop in, and he's a good one.
Their food is amazing.
This week, they're featuring burgers, some you know, some you should know. They've got all kinds of different types of burgers on there. Be sure to check that out. Their breakfast special today is chopped steak and eggs. Oh, that sounds good. And they got, it's burger week, so they got all kinds of different burgers over there. As a, I don't like to brag or throw this around, but as a burger connoisseur, I encourage you to check out El Cafe's burgers. They're amazing. They're amazing. Go ahead and stop over there. Say hi to the gang for us. Wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR.
And have a great meal.
Mm-hmm. Get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Everybody loves celebrating with you. Send them to info@WFHR.com, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. You can, of course, direct message us on our Facebook pages, whether it's WFHR or WIRI. And call up.
Or you can call 715-424-2600 and wish your happy birthday or anniversary live on air.
We'd love to hear from you, everybody. we haven't had one of those in a while. I don't mind if you even want to save the birthday and wait to call it. Feel sure. free to, everybody.
Absolutely.
Love to hear from you. Melissa, I need a 1 through 3.
Ooh, let's go with 3 today.
Okay, gives us that qualifier. We can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish happy birthday to Danny Webster.
Happy birthday, Danny.
Enjoy your day, Danny. Hope it's a good one for you. And we wish a happy birthday to Roz Peets.
Happy birthday, Roz.
Roz, enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one for you. Love the name Roz. It's a great name. Great name. And a happy birthday to our qualifier today, Pam Skibba.
Happy birthday, Pam.
Enjoy your day, Pam. We happen to be kind of favors of that. We love that name, Pam, around here. We're big fans. So we wish you a great one, Pam. Enjoy your day. Hope it's a good one. And thank you to everyone who got us these birthdays and anniversaries. Keep them coming, everybody.
Absolutely. That's a good story of the day right there.
Yeah, yeah. We take a look at our celebrity birthdays. And first up, perfect timing. Carly Lloyd is 42, soccer Olympian and 2015 World Cup winner.
Ooh.
One of our best that we have had in the history of women's American soccer. And boy, women's soccer has gotten much more competitive throughout the world, but the USA team is still just stellar. listening to Carly Lloyd talk about this team, it makes me feel pretty confident going into the summer games.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Corey Feldman is 53.
Wow.
Mouth in The Goonies, Teddy in Stand By Me, Edgar in Lost Boys. I don't think there are many actors, many child actors that have the opening resume that Corey Feldman has. it's actually really incredible. I'm thinking of, what's the old actress? The first real child star actress, Shirley Temple.
Shirley Temple.
It's up there with Shirley Temple level like beginning of your career and how good it was.
He was in so many of them: Stand By Me, The Goonies, The Lost Boys,
and they're all either hits or cult favorites.
Yeah.
They're iconic movies. They're not just movies. They're iconic performances in movies, and you can't picture him not in them. His performances.
Yep. So now he's making money with his music.
Is he? Okay. I wasn't sure what he was up to. Oh.
That seems to be what I'm seeing here.
Right on. Hey, good on him. Good on him. He was one of those child stars that I was not surprised that didn't transition very well.
He's got a very specific look.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that benefits you as a kid and doesn't help you as much as an adult. And
In Hollywood the way it is.
Yeah, which is a shame. It's a shame because I wonder if modern, if he was around now, if that would have changed the course of his career. Because nowadays you see so many child actors, whatever they look like, be able to continue to work. And Haley Joel Osment is a perfect example of that. He'll be the first to tell you he's not necessarily a GQ stud or something like that, but because he's persevered, worked at it, and because of the connections he had early on in his career, he has been able to have a very, very good career. Going from AI or 6 Feet on Sixth Sense to where he has gone on now, and he's unrecognizable in some ways, but that's because of, in part, because of the work he has chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of music, Ed Kowalczyk is 53, live lead singer and songwriter.
Okay.
I don't like the idea of naming your band Live. I'm sorry. I don't know how many times I've said live and live now with, oh, dang, I mean live. I mean, the great, the funny Will Ferrell is 57.
Really?
Yeah. Big fan of Mr. Ferrell.
I am not.
And you're not alone. There's a number of people out there that I've run into. Almost every year we celebrate his birthday, I hear somebody say that they're not a fan. But it doesn't seem to be hurt his box office numbers.
No, and I don't. It's not that I'm not a fan of him personally. I just very often do not like the comedy in the movies that he's in. I don't go for the stupid funny movies often.
I learned
seems to be his pretty much a lot of his repertoire is stupid funny.
Like a lot of things I learned from my mother, that you sometimes you need that. I could never understand my grandfather. The only thing he would brag about with my mother is her genius IQ and how she did on her SATs and all this. And it's the same woman I would see standing in line in the grocery store and the National Enquirer. Oh, who's Bat Boy? What's this? I guarantee you that sometime this afternoon she'll be watching a documentary about some European city or something like that, and then right away afterwards watching Ghost Stories. and I couldn't understand this, but our brains need that release. Mm-hmm. Our brains need sometimes a silly, funny comedy that doesn't have an intellectual comedy to it or something. And Will Ferrell's very good at that. So you need that break every once in a while. He's also a very solid actor. Like, he can do serious work. He can do, like, he has wide range when it comes to it and everything. I'm curious to see as he gets older if he gets more opportunities to do more serious work.
He probably will. Just, you know, as you age, you have a tendency, or as Hollywood actors age, they have a tendency to be able to kind of do the projects they want to do versus ones they've been typecast in for most of their lives.
There's a great example that he's worked with quite a bit in Steve Carell. Steve Carell is considered by many to be just as much of a comedic actor as a thespian. So, and he did that overnight, it feels like.
Yeah, well, but he often was the straight man.
Yes, yes.
Which lends itself to more serious.
Yeah, helps you lead it. I know that's my main role in comedy is playing the straight man. I mean, that's usually what I do, and I hear what you're saying there. We learned this from Leslie Nielsen. You know, Leslie Nielsen, a longtime thespian, longtime serious actor, gets the role in Airplane and becomes a comedic actor. Without changing anything about his style or his approach. just doing what he does. Just being Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah, and if Will Ferrell was in a serious movie that I, you know, wanted to see, I would not, like, not watch it because he's in it. I would want to see it. Mm.
Phoebe Cates is 61, Linda in Fast Times and Ridgemont High, and Kate in Gremlins. She is married in real life to Kevin Kline. That's a cool couple. That's an interesting couple. I don't think I knew that. The Lord of the Dance is 66, Michael Flatley.
Ah, yes, Riverdance, right?
Yes, Riverdance, yes. I remember those commercials quite a bit, yeah.
It's a complicated type of dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got a lot of respect for Riverdancers. Yeah, just dance in general. I have a lot of respect for it, whether I like the dance or I can do the dance or not. That's kind of here or there. That's different. If I'm just watching, if I'm just looking at dancing, I don't care what kind of dancing they're doing. If they're pulling it off, I'm impressed.
Mm-hmm.
Stuart Copeland is 72, drummer for the Police. Let's see here. And Jimmy Johnson is 81, former coach of Dallas Cowboys and Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. Now co-hosts NFL pregame show on Fox. Okay. And some people no longer with us, like Orville Rettenbacher, born in this day in 1907, passed away in 95.
Best popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn guy. Good popcorn. Also, kind of something that we've gotten away from in advertising. It used to be a lot about faces.
Yeah.
You know, and we've kind of gotten away from that. You don't see that much anymore, even with Orville Rettenbacher brands and stuff.
Well, because it was important in way back, like when he was doing this. Early 1900s, to put a face with a product because that gave it some, you know, authenticity. It gave it a verisimilitude.
Yes,
nice word. They don't really do that anymore because products aren't backed by people. They're backed by giant corporations.
Yeah. But it is interesting to see the change, how that's happened and everything. And finally, speaking of amazing dancing, Ginger Rogers, born on this day in 1911, passed away in 1995. Fred Astaire's main dance partner. And according to Astaire, the best dancer he'd ever worked with. Including himself, by the way, because I remember in the interviewer asking right away afterwards, including yourself, Fred, joking and everything. And Fred with a straight face. Yes. Ginger Rogers, wonderful actor, wonderful performer. It's just so much fun to watch. The when I hear people say light on their feet, she's the first thing I think of.
Yeah, yeah. No, she can fly, basically.
We wish everybody celebrating a birthday or anniversary out there a great one. Happy birthday to Danny and Roz.
Happy birthday, Danny. Happy birthday, Roz.
And a happy birthday to our qualifier, Pam Skibba.
Congratulations, Pam.
And congrats. Take that good luck throughout the rest of the day. And take it on over to El Cafe at 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us right here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday. Happy Wednesday Eve. No, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. No. Let's see. Let's get into an uncomfortable one here, Melissa.
Okay.
No one wants to be interrupted or rushed when they're using the restroom, but we've all been there. We've all had that happen. Someone asked the internet, when someone knocks on the bathroom door while you're using it, what do you say? And it's kind of interesting because all of the responses are awkward if you think about it.
Okay.
And I wonder if we can come up with the right solution, the right phrase to say. Instead of, you know, just yelling at the person or anything, run! Like, just run!
Go away.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had anybody do that. Just run away! Run now! I don't, something about that seems like it'd be maybe not the best way to handle it. And we want audience participation. Of course, all of you have the morning show play at home versions. Go ahead and call up 715-424-2600.
Yeah, that's the Civic Media app now, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty nice. Pretty
one handy. Button dialing.
Yeah, go for it, everybody.
I mean, technically it's three, but it's neither here nor there.
Yeah. So here are some of the responses. The most popular answer was shouting, someone's in here. yes, in the third person, though. I mean,
right.
What are we doing here? I've done someone's this, by the here. Way. Yeah.
Versus what? Something?
Yeah, exactly. number two on the list, occupied. Well, okay, but if it's locked, I would imagine that they kind of figured that part out, maybe. I don't know. Although, around here, we have locked the men's bathroom door a couple of times without anybody being in there. I don't know how we've done this, but we have managed to do this. It's just Seth and I here. I guess Chuck, too. But it's not like there's a ton of guys coming in and out of this building or anything. So.
And you managed to lock yourself out of the
twice.
Bathroom?
We've done this twice, yes.
Wow. Well done. I'm impressed.
The next one, I've never done this one. I'm almost done. just a minute. Like, I don't know.
Just a minute, I've heard.
That one I've heard.
And I've probably said that myself, yeah.
But I'm almost done? No. I don't need any added information. No context there.
They could be washing their hands, James.
True. I'm in here. There's another one. I'm in here.
That's actually the first thing that popped into my mind when you brought up this topic earlier. It's like, what do I say? It's been a long time since I've had somebody knock on a door, on a bathroom door, when I've been in it. I really had to think about it.
That feels like a roommate one, or your partner, or something like that. Like, you know, that. But when there's only two people in the house, kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The number five on the list. Yeah.
I like that one. Yeah. It's better than what?
Yes. Much better. Someone noted that in Japan, you're apparently supposed to knock back, which is so very interesting to me. So someone else said, I understand the silent courtesy of the culture, but this creeps me out a little bit. So I could see that if you're not used to it. I could see that where you and then somebody else back. Oh, wait, whoa, what? Wait, am I inside the bathroom? Am I?
Is there an echo in here?
Yeah,
What's going on? But it does say something, too, about their culture. Their bathrooms are small enough that they can knock on the door from
true.
The toilet.
Very true. Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting point. Yeah.
Or, I mean, I suppose they could knock on the wall. It's not necessarily that.
I hear what you're saying, though. I know a little bit about Japanese bathrooms only because I am not obsessed, but I am really interested in bidets. I really feel like there's a miscalculation being done in this country when it comes to bidets.
Yeah. They're far more common in European countries and Asian cultures.
They're the cleanest way to clean ourselves. Yeah. Like scientifically and by opinion, whether you're talking to people or you're talking to science, everything agrees bidets are the way we should have been doing this since the invention of bidets.
Yeah, and they're much less wasteful than using toilet paper.
How many bidets have you ever seen in your lifetime in America?
Three.
I've never seen one. Not one.
Actually four. I've seen four.
Right on.
There are becoming more five. Wow. I've seen a lot of them.
Okay. Apparently. Yeah.
But it is something that you can get. They have kits now you can buy to put on the toilet you already have.
Yeah.
But I've also seen a toilet that came with one that was really impressive. The water was heated. There was multiple options for how you wanted the water to spray. There was a fan option, a drying option.
There's just no reason we shouldn't be you.
Thousands of dollars invested in a toilet.
Yeah, maybe not those, but these.
It was very impressive, though.
I can only imagine, especially with these ones that nowadays with these kits that you can buy where they can be put in, installed in every single one. There's no reason we shouldn't be using them. There's none.
Yeah.
The paper Besides industry the price will be point. Fine. The paper industry will survive. They don't need the toilet paper industry. We'll be okay.
In fact, we would maybe have more trees then.
Yes, yes. There's a million reasons why we should be using bidets. I'll get off my soapbox. This is
okay.
One of those things.
So this is why you know something about Japanese bathrooms.
Yes,
back
yes,
to the point.
Yes. Number seven on the list. A lot of people said that they say nothing, assuming the door is locked. One person said, I don't get knocking on a locked bathroom door. Someone is clearly using it. Okay.
Well, I mean, do people just knock on a closed door or do you try the handle first?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? I mean, if you're walking up to a public bathroom, in a restaurant or something, typically you try the door.
Yeah, yeah. I would hope so.
And if it's locked, then you don't knock. You just wait.
Yeah, yeah. Other people claim they have fun with the response. Here are some of those responses. Hey, come back with a warrant.
That's a good one.
I'm with a client.
Ooh, maybe not.
Just finishing up some paperwork. Be right with you.
Too much information.
What's the password? You got to know the password.
Yeah,
got to know the password.
That one I like.
Who is it?
And the person outside. It's Dave.
Dave's not here. And someone said they don't say anything, they just scream. Okay, whoa, all
oh,
right.
Wow.
That's not, I don't know if that was safe. I'd be calling for help.
Some concern.
Yeah, I would be calling for help. I would be, yeah. How would you answer this one? Feel free to call up and let us know, everybody. We would love to hear from you.
You know, I don't know if I read a study on this or I saw a video on this years ago. And every single respondent in this little, and it was a small survey they must have taken, but they all said they replied, ocupado.
Yeah. I've heard that. My dad likes using that one, yeah.
Okay, but the funny part was that they don't all speak that language.
Right. Yeah.
Most of them were English speakers, and they say, ocupado. It's like, well, that's just the response you're supposed to say when you're in a bathroom. I'm like, I never. ever say that. I would never think about that.
No, no, wouldn't
Nor
come across
would
my
I
mind.
Say occupied, because it's just like...
Yeah, it feels a little, yeah, yeah.
I honestly say, I'm in here.
Yeah. I was getting a little bit worried. I knew our listeners would chime in. Good morning. What's on your mind? What do you think?
Well, I just went to the Jimmy Buffett show. And you know, the women's bathroom has about 50 stalls in it, maybe, I don't know, a lot. And then they're all full. And then the people in front of the line's way out, instead of going in and standing in front of one of those stalls, they leave about 5 in, so there you're standing out in the hall. Move on in and stand in front of the stall instead of just 5 dwindling in at a time, and the line is so long on the outside. Oh, I'll tell you. And it happens a lot of times at the Packer game, too. But I think they've gotten wiser over the years.
Yeah, yeah. That could be trying. That could be tough. But,
I says, boy, those women are dumb.
We appreciate the call, miss. Thanks a lot for calling up. You have a great morning.
Have a good day.
You too.
You too.
We'll take a time out. We'll come back, and we're going to have some fun. We're going to talk a little bit about ultra processed food and what that is.
Okay.
Coming back, Melissa and James on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a good one out there, wherever you are up to. So, more and more research shows we should be avoiding ultra-processed foods. But a new poll found a major hurdle. A lot of us don't know what ultra-processed means. 44% think it basically just means fast food. And yes, that is one example, but this is not the only one. Unprocessed or minimally processed foods are things that are still close to the natural state. Think fruits, vegetables, grains, nuts, eggs, milk, and meat. Processed means it's been changed enough to alter or destroy some of the vitamins and minerals. Think things like tortilla chips, whole wheat bread, and fruit juice. Mm-hmm. Ultra-processed means it's gone through a ton of that processing, and the list of is a lot longer than just the stuff you'll find in a drive-thru. Mm-hmm. Ultra-processed foods also include things like flavored chips, soda, energy drinks, candy bars, and lots of ingredients. With lots of ingredients. Right. So basically junk food. But also sneakier stuff like white bread, flavored yogurt, and sugary breakfast cereal. The easiest way to tell if something is ultra-processed is by looking at the ingredients. Right. If it's a long list with words you cannot pronounce, it's probably ultra-processed.
Yep.
And this comes to us from the Harvard Business School, as well as Healthline and Innov Market Insights. Mm-hmm. So just to see some of the reporting coming from this, from some pretty big brains, if you will, to put it lightly.
But where are they getting the statistics that people don't know what ultra-processed food is?
Well, most of these come from a blind survey that are open to all, like, schools. This one in particular is one of those ones where they'll do these surveys. They'll have, here's a grant for this. You need to do a survey to find out if it's, if you're going to get more money or get the grant at all. Sometimes that's where they come from. That's the most details we have on these. They have all the actual data as far as ages and sexes and that kind of thing.
Well, I don't know. I don't think people are that dumb. I'm pretty sure that they know what ultra-processed food is.
At the same time, I'm not going to... Carl and I did a That Ain't Right story years ago about 9% of the population believing chocolate milk comes from brown cows. I am not going to put it past anybody that 44% don't know what ultra-processed mean, especially considering so many of us don't... while we have gotten much, much better at looking at the ingredients of things, it doesn't always stop us from buying it if it's cheaper.
Yeah.
That's true. But
the unfortunate reality of that is that we sometimes have to choose the cheaper option because that's what our pocketbooks can afford.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and so I mean, I think the more we talk about these things, the more people will understand. Maybe they know what ultra processed means, but they're not thinking about it when it comes to some of those latter things we were talking about, like white bread or flavored yogurt. I know for me, for one, I'm looking at a thing yogurt. I'm like, oh, yogurt. That's healthy. You know, because I don't know any better. So I got to look at the label. I got to, what is this xenoguac? What is xenoguac? What is that? That ain't a word. That, you know, and then I start realizing. But is it fair? And this is an open question. This is not directed at Melissa. This is a rhetorical open question. Is it fair that if I'm in the health section, I should be able to find healthy foods and only healthy foods, but I don't find only healthy foods. Is it fair to that everybody needs to be looking at ingredients of everything?
Well, I mean, there's multiple reasons to look at ingredients. I think it's fair to make the reminder of it doesn't hurt to look at the ingredients.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things where very few people go grocery shopping relaxed or at least not having to rush or not having to be in a quick pace. This is how we live our lives. We try to, okay, I've got this much amount of time to get this done and this much amount of time to get this done. When you add on the fact that I'm not just going to the grocery store, I'm going to a library, basically. I'm going to be doing a lot of reading at the grocery store, and I'm in a hurry. You add on all of these factors, and I don't know how many people are actually checking the labels and how many people are actually, you know, focusing on these with all of these different factors.
Well, and then the other factor, too, is you don't have time to grocery shop. You also don't have time to cook. So if it's, buying raw green beans that you have to process versus buying them canned or frozen and somebody else did the processing for you, what do you have time for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, so there's that factor as well. Are the fresh green beans that you can buy in the produce section going to be healthier for you? Yes. Is the amount of nutrients that you have lost because they've been slightly processed to be frozen or canned going to offset the amount of time that you need to give up to process them yourself? Is that worth it? And that's, you know, some mental gymnastics that you have to go through to decide what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's we'll see where this goes. You know, I think that we're labels are just going to get more and more detailed and smaller, probably.
Well, I wish that we could get all of the chemicals out of our foods.
Yeah,
and that's not that's not completely possible because we need some of those preservatives to be able to have things shelf stable, and it's important. It's necessary in today's world to have shelf stable foods. Mm-hmm. And sadly, not everybody has refrigeration.
Right.
Especially if the power keeps going out in Texas. They can't rely on their refrigerators.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, so there's a lot of factors to consider when you're talking about what foods we choose to eat, what foods we have available to us to eat.
It's only going to get more and more interesting as we go forward with this one.
Mm-hmm.
And emojis is where we go next. According to a new survey, 41% of people believe every text message needs to include an emoji to be complete, or the text feels naked.
What? How many people?
41%.
41%.
It's more common among younger adults. 70% of Gen Zers say you need an emoji, compared to 46% of Gen Xers.
Okay.
But words are important, too. 38% of people say that texting with just a single emoji is a conversation killer.
Well, yeah. How do you respond to that?
Hmm.
Well, smiley face?
And while adding an emoji to every text may seem over the top, 58% of Americans believe emojis do improve how we communicate digitally.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with that. It adds an emotion to a text that otherwise wouldn't have it.
Mm-hmm. I will say... a conversation killer, yes. Just sending a single emoji or whatever. But I also think that's kind of like, okay, well, we've wrapped up our conversation. This is kind of a sign of that.
It can also be an ending to a conversation.
Yeah. I've never been a person that has ever had to have the last word. But I think in almost every text message chain or message I've ever been in, is the conversation over now? I don't know. Are we still talking? Am I being rude right now? Should I respond? I'll just send an emoji. That's fine.
Well, then it can also be an acknowledgement of I've received your message.
Yes, which is important. Mm-hmm. I think that that's something that, you know, especially a lot of our generation that is getting used to more and more tech. And while we grew up with a little bit of tech, we're not used to it as much as some. It gets kind of, that email, we don't do that in email very often. And now we're getting more and more to a point where we are. And that's something we're learning as we go along here. And oftentimes I think we treat email or text like it's a conversation, and it's nothing to talk with a coworker and then walk away. You know, you don't have a huge goodbye or anything like that. Or you nod your head and so there's some acknowledgement and then you move on. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get better about this as a society. And I think in particular generations are trying to get better at this.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think that it's helpful at times to include an emoji. For me, I consider my audience. You know, if I'm communicating with somebody who puts a lot of emojis in their texts, I will feel free to respond that way and include them myself. If I'm talking with somebody who doesn't ever use them, I'm less likely to include one.
Yeah, same. Yeah. I think that's a proper way of handling it. Mm-hmm. And I think, too, it also kind of gets you. I know that people that use a lot of emojis, half the time I'm learning. I didn't even know that was an emoji. I didn't know that we had that
one. Never seen that one before.
That's interesting. No.
Or when they come through and they're not supported by your cell phone, so it just comes through as a box.
Yeah.
And it's nothing. I'm like, I wonder what that was. Hopefully it's not important.
And I wouldn't say that's maddening, but that is like, what did they say there? What was going on there? That is a little bit, what the? We are going to get to the top of the hour here and play some CBS News and local and statewide news for you. When we come back, we got some entertainment news. We're going to dive into the Star Spangled Banner that was sang before the Home Run Derby last night. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We've also got some, we're also going to Gilligan's Island, so that'll be fun. Yay. Looking forward to that one. All coming up for you. And a third of Americans think doing the dishes counts as exercise.
I mean, it could. Depends on how crusty your dishes are.
We're going to dive into that one, too. All that coming up for you right here at The Morning Show on WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR, 1320 AM. W2.